You're tuned to the Curb Your Dogma podcast. And now, here is your dangerously underqualified host, Dr. Maury Robertson.
2 weeks ago, I talked about how the religious underpinnings of my life fell apart and left me feeling very vulnerable. And then last week, I described how it seems like we've been on this big, long detour, like, you know, 2,000-year detour, where we've been following more the teachings of Paul than the teachings of Jesus. Well, today I want to focus on the teachings of Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I feel like I've come out of this box, this religious cage, and I'm out in the open. What does life look like now that I'm outside and I'm not feeling boxed in by these dogmas and religious ideas? What does it mean to follow Jesus? That's what we'll be focusing on in today's episode, The Way of Love. Hello, my friend, and welcome to Curb Your Dogma, where we leave the beaten path to follow Christ. Wow. Well, you know, as I've been wrestling with this stuff, I've come to a realization in my life, and that is that I like wrestling with stuff. I like ideas. I like concepts. But as I've been studying the life of Jesus, I've really noticed that he's just not very conceptual. He tells people how to behave. He tells stories that call attention to behavior, and that he really wants people to live a certain way. And he doesn't seem nearly as focused on what people believe or their political affiliations or their theological fine points and all that sort of stuff. You know, that's what you learn about in seminary, and I like that stuff, and it's kind of the sea I swim in. But Jesus's way is very simple. So today's podcast will actually be very short, because my goal today is not to, you know, get into some deep concept. It's to focus on the way of life that Jesus taught. So without further ado, let's get into it. Jesus taught the way of love. This was a way to live. And to help people live that way, Jesus told stories. At the center of those stories was a God of love and people who were in need of love. Jesus' stories didn't focus on belief, but on behavior. Jesus had only two rules for life. Number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor. He said, if you do this, you'll automatically get everything else right. Following Jesus is the way of love. But what is love? Well, love is the superpower we all possess. It's faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Love will save the world. But what is love? Well, I think it's pretty simple. Love is acceptance. In Jesus' day, to sit around the table and eat with someone conveyed acceptance. And Jesus was not picky about who he ate with. He ate with tax gatherers, prostitutes, religious leaders, lepers, Samaritans. He would eat with anyone. He would eat with you. People were scandalized by this. They said, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told a story about a father who welcomed his prodigal son back to the table, and he said, "That's how God treats screw-ups. That's how open God's table is." See, Jesus just didn't see lines between people. He treated a Roman centurion, a synagogue official, a Samaritan woman, a tax collector, and a Pharisee all the same. He loved them all. There was only one point of conflict with Jesus. In Jesus' day, as in ours, there are those who reject others on the grounds of religion, or social status, or gender, or ethnicity, or morality. If you're grossed out by the people who sit at God's table, you will not find a seat there. And that's the problem. And it's why Jesus insisted on the necessity of forgiveness. It's also why he had such harsh words for the religion makers of his day. These were the people who said God drew lines that gave them the inside track. They even said God rejected certain people. And that just plain made Jesus angry. Love and hate are like light and darkness. They cannot coexist. If you reject a single person, you banish yourself to outer darkness. This is not because God is angry. It is because God is love. When you fail to love, you experience the pain of separation. There's always a seat at God's table for you. God will even leave the light on for you. Eventually, you'll come home. No one can live outside forever. But why would you want to wait? Why would you want to be outside? The life Jesus taught is summarized by three truths. Number one, God is love. Number two, life is growth. Number three, everyone is family. These aren't just truths. They are more like streams flowing from the heart of God to you and through you. God is love. Life is growth. Everyone is family. And because God is love, you love God. Because life is growth, you love life. Because everyone is family, you love your neighbor. I capture this with the anchor point symbol, and please look at the show notes and you can see how I sort of draw this out. But this way of love is not a philosophy, it's not a religion, it's a way to live. Behavior is primary, belief is secondary. Love will guide the way to truth. So what I propose today is a very simple way to get started. And I suggest that you focus for 1 week on each of these statements and do the simple little thing that I'm going to suggest that you do. After 3 weeks, combine them and make this your way of life. God is love, life is growth, everyone is family. Eventually, you'll go much further than just these first steps, but you will never outgrow them. So let's look at this first step and what I suggest that you spend this next week doing. Focus on this statement, God is love, and your response to that, I love God. So here's what to do. Every day, make the first words out of your mouth a prayer. Say to God, I love you. Say it out loud, and I emphasize that out loud because it, for some reason, makes a big difference. Not to just think it, but to actually say it. Say it out loud before you get out of bed. I love you. You will be amazed at what these three simple words expressed honestly will do. Don't worry if you don't feel anything at first. If you just say the words and you don't like, I don't feel love or whatever, it's okay. It's even okay if you're mad at God. It's okay if you don't even believe there is a God. Just say the words as genuinely as you can. I love you. You may find that the words invite further discussion, like, God, are you really up there? I can't believe I'm saying this. It feels like I'm talking to the wall. Or why aren't you taking care of me? Or God, I love you, but why is life so painful and meaningless? Go ahead and have those conversations with God or with the ceiling if that's all you can manage to believe in at the moment. But when you're finished, just go back to those words and say them again. I love you. The way of love is not an answer to life's mysteries. It is the presence of God in the mystery. Just say the words. The practice comes first, then the feelings. If you wait for the feelings, you'll never begin. As you go through your day, say, I love you, as often as you can remember to do it. And just do that for 7 days. You'll be surprised by what happens. So God is love. I love God. The second week, life is growth. And the response to that is to love your life. So, on week two, before you get out of bed, thank God for one thing, then tell God you love your life. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my dog. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the sky. Thank you for this warm blanket. Whatever. And then, I love my life. Be sure to give thanks for one new thing every day. This will expand your appreciation of God's goodness. So, in other words, don't get into a rut. Thank you, God, for this day. Okay, well, that's great. Another day. Thank you, God. But don't just say that by rote. Think of something. Expand your awareness of God's goodness by thanking God for something new every day of the week. And then add this statement, which may be a little hard to say, but say it anyway. I love my life. Thank you, God, for this room. I love my life. Thank you, God, for my dog. I love my life. Now, you might choke a little bit on those words because, frankly, maybe your life stinks. Maybe it's so bad you wish it was over. How can you love a life that's filled with tragedy when you've made such a colossal mess of things, when the people you love are in so much pain? Those are good questions. Suppose I give you a book and tell you it's a good book, and you open it up to page 152, and you just read, and you say, yikes, page 152 is nothing but heartache and despair. You slam the book shut and hand it back to me. That's a lousy book, you say. How do you know, I would reply. How do you know it's a lousy book? You've just read one page. The point is, your life is one page. That's all you see. Your perspective is so limited. Pain and suffering are real. Failure is real. I'm not denying the reality of page 152. And loving your life doesn't mean plastering a dopey grin on things that are just bad. It means, though, trusting that in ways you cannot see, God is always working for good. That there's more going on than you can see, and that God is love, and that God is good. And it's not your job to understand the whole book because you just don't see it yet. So while you can't see it, you have to trust. The way of love is not an answer to the question why. It is the presence of God in the mystery with you. David said this well. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, that's a guy on page 152 who gets it, who's walking with God, trusting, you know, and it goes on, if you know the psalm, you know, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's this confidence that God is working, even though you're in that valley. And that's why Jesus, I think, emphasized trust so much. You can't love your life, you can't accept your life if you don't trust. You just don't have the perspective to know what is good and what is bad. Haven't you had the experience? Sometimes you think something really great has happened and it turns out to be a disaster. Or sometimes the other way, you know, something horrible and you think, oh, this is the end of the world. And the thing you thought was so bad turns out to be this great blessing in the end. We just don't know. We have to trust in everything that God is working for good. And that's why you can love your life. Not because of what you see, but because the God of love is at work on every page to bring every lost child home. So before you get out of bed, thank God for one thing, then tell God you love your life. Thank you for coffee. I love my life. Soon you'll learn to embrace each day as a gift instead of dreading it like an obstacle course. So God is love, life is growth, and then finally, everyone is family. And your response to that, you love your neighbor. So here's my suggestion for week 3. Make eye contact with the first person you meet today. Smile and say hello. Maybe that's this person who shares your bed. Maybe it's a roommate. Maybe it's the first person you see when you step outside. But whoever it is, make eye contact, smile, and greet them. Now, okay, they may not respond well. They might avoid your glance. They might scowl at you. They may stare at their cell phone. They may be embarrassed. Doesn't matter. Just smile and greet them. That may not seem like much, but it is. People walk around these days with a sense of alienation. The world feels like a cold place. It's all about competition in this world, not acceptance. You don't smile at your opponent. You defeat him. But when we love each other and just by this simple greeting, tell people you're okay, you're accepted, you're part of my world, we make a big difference in their life. So after you've done this with your first person, do the same thing with the second person you meet, and the third, and the fourth. You get the point. Try to make this your way of life, that everyone you see, everyone you run into, you smile at, you say hello, you greet, and you just convey to them acceptance. Don't be creepy and weird about it, you know. Just convey genuine acceptance to every person you meet, from the spouse lying in bed to the cashier at the store. Eye contact, a smile, and a greeting. That's all you have to do. It matters more than you think. If you want to work on your own heart as you go about this, add a prayer. Ask God to fill the person with love as you smile and greet her. You'll like what happens, I think. You'll like what happens not only to that person, but I think you'll be amazed at what happens in your own heart. You'll feel love. You'll feel God. Like John said, when we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So that's it. God is love. Life is growth. everyone is family. This is just a very simple place to begin, with three simple activities to do one a week and to make these a way of life. Again, it's not that this is complicated. It's not that, you know, like this explains all life mysteries. This is not a philosophy. This is not some advanced theology. This is not some new spin on some ancient doctrine or anything like this. This is just doing the very basic things that Jesus said to do. Love God and love your neighbor. And when you do these things, I think you'll find that your life begins to change. Now, of course, there are endless discoveries within those three statements. God is love. The study of God and who God is and what does it even mean to connect with God and to experience God? And we can talk endlessly actually about all of these three statements. And the purpose of Anchor Point is to explore those things and make the discoveries and share the life that Jesus intended. But before we get too high up in the clouds, let's make sure we have our feet on the ground by doing these three very simple things. God is love, so love God. In other words, wake up each morning, just say it, I love you. And say that and just let God work on your heart. I think you'll find that it becomes true as you say it. Life is growth. So you focus on embracing your life, loving your life, being grateful for your life, trusting that God is working in your life. So you give thanks and you say, God, I love my life because I know you're in it. Okay. And then everyone is family. So treat them like that. Smile. Greet them. Let everybody you meet know that they are accepted. Just three simple things. But this is the way of love. And if everyone would do this, what a different world it would be. God is love, life is growth, everyone is family.
You can find a blog on today's topic along with the show notes at anchorpoint.org.